I know, it's a rather abrupt ending to the scripture, isn't it? As I mentioned early on, this is the fifth week of our Lenten worship series titled 40 Acts. The invitation for us has been to take a 40-day journey with 40 opportunities for us to act generously towards God and towards others. I know that many of you have been reading our Facebook post. Maybe you've been receiving the daily devotionals yourself, and you've had these opportunities to do these various things, to be able to live out and to give generously during this season of Lent. Because the idea has been for all of us to do some practices, some simple things, to try to develop within us a pattern of living where we give more of ourselves to purposes that are far greater than just some of the cultural norms that we have. To have deliberate practices in our lives where we learn to live sacrificially, to give of ourselves, to give completely to our faith community, and to give to God's purposes in the world around us. So today we're going to consider what that means, going from concept, where we've spent a lot of time, to practices. How does this actually look in our everyday lives? What does it mean for us to practice generosity, particularly the gifts of love in our lives? If you think about Mark Twain, Mark Twain is credited with saying, "Action speaks louder than words," right? The interesting thing is that's not the full sentence or the full quote, if you know it. Actually, Mark Twain said, "Action speaks louder than words, but not nearly as often." Right? We talk a good game, is what Mark Twain says. We don't necessarily act out a good game, right? We let our words speak louder than our actions. And yet our actions should be what communicates who we are, particularly as the church, as God's people. Our actions are going to communicate to everyone what it is that we truly value and believe. But I wonder if we as the church have that tendency to speak more than we act. Do we have a tendency as a community of faith to relate with one another superficially, not deeply? If we took a moment to measure our actions in relationship to one another, what would it say about each and every one of us, right? Am I a member of St. John's who comes periodically, or am I someone who's deeply integrated and invested in the community, and my actions demonstrate that? I think one of the reasons why many people choose to be more peripheral in some of their relationships, particularly when it comes to their church, is that relationships are often messy. If you find yourself deeply invested in relationships with other people, you often also find yourself inheriting a little bit of the mess of relationships. Amen? On Facebook, if you ever notice people, they put down their relationship statuses, right? You hope they're telling the truth, particularly if their spouse is one of their Facebook friends. But, you know, they put down that they're either married or they're single. They might put down that they're divorced in a relationship. But the one that I always find humorous or interesting is the one where people put down, "It's complicated." Have you ever seen that one? Any of you guys, right? Some of you on Facebook, you've seen that one. I always find that status to be interesting. Why would somebody put down that their relationship is complicated? Because often they are. Amen, right? They are. I would suggest to you that most of us, though, we don't like complicated. We like things to be simple. We don't like messy. We don't like getting intertwined into things that we cannot quickly get out of. So we avoid, in many ways in our lives, complicated, especially complicated relationships. Because those deep, complicated relationships cost us emotions, they cost us time, they cost us energy, they cost us resources, and they become almost impossible for us to extract ourselves from. You know, many of us have these kinds of relationships now. In our own intimate family situations and settings, we find ourselves with complicated things going on. We find ourselves with family members who are extracting a lot of emotion and time and energy and resources from the overall family, and we struggle with the complication, the messiness of it. And for those of you out there, I pray for you, for I know you've talked to me about these many things. But why is it that we don't like complicated, right? I would speculate that for many of us, we can handle it within our family units, but we don't like complicated beyond because the world itself is way too complicated for us. It robs us of too many things. We've got enough of our own stuff to deal with. And for many of us, we like to know what is going on without really getting involved in what is going on. Amen? Right? Because it adds too much conflict to what's already happening in our own lives. It costs us emotionally. And so we avoid complicated. We avoid complicated beyond what we can measure and handle in our own families, and so we avoid complicated at church. We avoid the complications of intimate relationships in our community of faith because we want to be guarded with what little emotional energy we actually have. And yet, I think reading through the past several weeks, we've come to understand that Paul's invitation is for us to be a part of a real Christian community that is complicated, that is intertwined, that is invested, that is enmeshed in one another's lives for very specific kinds of reasons and purposes. Now, I'm going to reiterate again what's gone on in Romans chapter, because we have some guests here today, and I want to just refresh all of you and remind them kind of the journey that we've been on, because we've been talking about Romans chapter 12 all the way through this Lenten season. Now, we remember that Paul's letter to Rome is his introductory letter, right? He has never been to Rome. He did not start the churches in Rome, and so he is writing them a letter to introduce himself to them, because Paul's got a specific goal in mind. If you remember, Paul wants to travel to Rome on his way to Spain, right? He is going to Spain. That is his new mission field that he has envisioned. He is going there to preach the gospel, to start new churches. And his goal, maybe, according to some commentators, is to get the church in Rome to sponsor him, to maybe give him a monetary gift that will send him and support him on his trip to Spain. And so he is sharing with them his understanding of the gospel. What it means for all people. God's grand act of love that is for Jew and for Gentile, for all the world. And that it is God's great gift given to every single one. And so he explicates all of this through chapters 1 through 11. And then he gets to chapter 12 and he draws it down to now at how it's supposed to be lived. The gospel isn't something you just believe. The gospel is something, according to Paul, that you live. And so he starts out chapter 12 with the verse of being a living sacrifice. To think about what it means for us to generously give ourselves away. And as we do this daily, it will begin to form, shape our mind to envision the world differently than our own kinds of needs and perspectives. These deliberate practices are integral because we are an integral part of the body of Christ, according to Paul. And through our spiritual gifts, we give of ourselves generously to the community. That is genuine love, according to Paul. But then he gets down to some things that are very particular. He says these are ways in which you can actually practice this, in which you can inhabit it within a community of faith. These become complicated. To give generously to those in need, to one another and to strangers. To bless those who oppose you, not curse them. To rejoice with one another when it's appropriate. To cry with one another when it is needed. To treat each other as equals, even though most of us socially and economically are not equals. And to stop acting like we're the smartest people in the room. To be more quiet and to listen to others. So that we might share in their burdens, their joys. So we might express to them God's love and purposes. These are the very specific ways in which Paul sees us as the body of Christ. Interconnected one with another. And the possibility of intimacy that comes out of it. Realizing that it's going to be complicated. And messy in many ways. Paul knows that these are the intricate relationships and that these will cost us emotionally. They'll cost us of our time. They will cost us of our resources. And we are to be a people who willingly enter that relationship one with another, to love and to care for one another despite what it might cost us, to give sacrificially of ourselves regardless of recognition or reward, to see the person sitting next to you as brother and sister in Christ, as a loved family member, and to share with them. The question I want to ask you real quick, though, is what better way is there to live? I mean, can you think of any other better way to live your life than in an intricate community of faith? Is there a better thing that you could give yourself to than a community that will love you, that will give you genuine concern, that will graciously help you in times of joy and trouble, and give you the invitation to do the same for some other? Is there a better way to live life than that? I would suggest to you that it is impossible, dear friends. It is impossible to live uncomplicated and disconnected lives. The choice that we all make is the what. What do we allow to complicate and mess up our lives? What do we give ourselves to? I'm finding, unfortunately, dear friends, that I'm spending way too much time watching cable network news. All right? I'm finding myself arguing with the people on TV that I disagree with. I find myself giving way too much emotionally and of my time to something that is just pure nonsense from every angle that you can view it from. Amen? And the political discourse is dysfunctional at best, going nowhere pretty quick, and it's costing almost all of us way too much time and energy. But not only is it robbing me of my time and my energy, I figured this out this week. It's robbing you as well. It robs you of my time and my energy and my passion and my love for you because I'm giving it to something else. I'm letting something else interject and rob me of that. Is it really worth my time and energy? Heavens no. Amen. Any of you? Right? The same's true with social media. How many of us find ourselves way too often on social media, constantly flickering through it? I see moms looking at their children. I see adults looking at other adults, right? We spend way too much time on social media. It is like an overgrown shop vac for time. It just sucks it all in and keeps it, right? Not much useful there. Not very effective in enhancing your connection with anybody, if you think about it. Is it worth your time and your energy? What, dear friends, do we give our time, our talent, and our energy to? Are we giving it to the things that are meaningful in our lives? Are they actions that bear forth fruit in a community of faith? I've got a book on my shelf. It's called Jesus Freaks. Interesting title, but it's a collection of stories of martyrs for the faith, people who have given their lives for the faith. One of the stories that's in it is a story about a young man that is from Korea, circa about 2001. As the story goes, this young man named Kim and his friend were walking down one of the streets in North Korea, and the police stopped the two of them. And they began to accuse his friend of being a secret Christian, which, of course, in North Korea is a crime, right? His young friend didn't say anything, just stood there and looked at the police as they continued to ask him over and over if he was a Christian. He looked at young Kim with just these eyes and a smile on his little face, but he kept looking at the police. And finally, the police had them, both of them kneel down and drew their weapon out and kept badgering the young man, "Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian?" But the young man didn't say anything. They shot and killed the young man right in front of Kim. Kim, of course, distraught, left the scene, ran home, and found his mother and basically told his mom the whole story. He couldn't understand why it was that his friend didn't say anything, didn't deny it, and he didn't know what it meant to be a Christian. But what he also didn't know was his mom was part of the secret underground Christian movement in North Korea. And so she slowly and lovingly shared with him what it meant to be a Christian. And in hearing her faith story, this young man, Kim, made a confession of faith himself. And through his own story and his mom's story, his three brothers also came to the faith. But one of the things that they knew was is there were no Bibles for them to read in North Korea. They were outlawed. And so they began crossing the Yalu River into China looking for Bibles that could be translated into Korea so they could disseminate them secretly through the church. Their first trip over, they couldn't find any. So young Kim entreated upon the Chinese Christians to help him out, asked him if they could supply 5,000 Bibles. And a month later, he came back. And they had 5,000 Bibles translated into Korean for him. Month after month after month, he and his brothers would cross the river to go and collect Bibles that they might be able to disseminate them in North Korea. But as the story goes, on their last trip, that was their last trip. For the brothers went back to North Korea, never to be heard from ever again. And no one knows the end of their stories. You think about martyrs for the faith, powerful stories of people who are willing to risk everything that they have for the cause of Jesus Christ and for their community of faith. But the interesting thing of it is, dear friends, not a single one of us here at St. John's is being asked to be a martyr for the Christian faith. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe our discipleship doesn't cost us enough. And yet that's the invitation for all of us. To enter into a discipleship that could be a little messy. And to do so through the relationships that you have here in this church, in this community of faith. To move from superficial acquaintances to intimate connections with one another. To be a people who care deeply for each other. Who are interwoven in your relationships of love, care, and genuine concern. To put aside fear and trepidation and selfishness with our time and to become a full part of the body of Christ here. And to let our actions speak louder than our words. So I want to ask yourself, just simply think, who at St. John's have I recently laughed? Who at St. John's have I recently cried with? Whose mess from my community of faith have I allowed to spill over into my life? Where have you stopped to just simply give someone an ear and to listen? As we move away from this moment, there's a couple things I hope that you just kind of hang on to that you can take home with you today. Have a conversation maybe one with another. But to be reminded that relationships are complicated, they are messy. All of us know the reasons why we avoid intimate relationships, especially with people that are not part of our intimate family, our immediate family. But Paul reminds us that we are a family. We are a family in Christ. And as such, we should be willing to risk everything for one another. That we should be willing to give of our time, our talent, our emotions, everything to each other. Because it is our very actions that are going to speak what it is that we believe, not only in the world, but especially here. So here's your invitation for today. A couple things just simply to consider, maybe take time to pray over this morning. But I want to ask you, are you avoiding complicated? And in particular, are you avoiding complicated here at St. John's? Are you keeping people at an arm's distance? At your church? Or do you find yourself enmeshed, woven in a community of faith and love and care? And when was the last time that you actually laughed, cried, blessed, listened to someone simply because they're one of your family members? Because in living intimately as a community of Christ, yes, it's complicated. It's complicated above and beyond what we're could ever maybe dream of at times, but frankly, friends, I could not imagine doing complicated with the world outside of St. John's, because I believe that it's only here that I am going to experience God's love through your blessings, through your tears, through your laughter, through your ear. How about you? Would you join me in a moment of prayer? So gracious and holy God, we thank you for this moment that we can share in the hearing of your words for us. to hear also, O Lord, that you are drawing us, beckoning us to come and be a part of this community of faith in deep and intimate ways. That, O God, yes, it can be complicated. It can be messy. We have so little time and energy to give, but what are we giving it to? It could be a lot of things that are so meaningless. God, draw us near to you, but draw us near to one another as a community. That we might be a people who truly inhabit the things that we believe. That it's not just our words, but it's really our actions that are going to show how much we love you and love one another. And so we ask these things in Christ, who is our Savior.